In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today, dearly beloved, we celebrate and we remember a wonderful and remarkable woman whom we have just heard about today in our gospel reading from St. John. A woman who, upon meeting Christ, was changed in such a way that she was able to look past all the failures of her life, the sins of her life, and therefore accept a new life. A life that was removed from the world's illusions of perfection, and a life removed from being defined by others in this very way. The woman at the well, from the account, again, that we just heard from St. John, probably certainly knew what it was like to be defined by others as someone who did not quite measure up. After all, she was a Samaritan that she had going against her from the Jews' perspective, because Samaritans were despised by the Jews because of their intermarriage with Gentiles. And a lot of the times the Jews saw them nothing less as heretics because they accepted only the first five books of the Old Testament. As we just heard, she had even been married five times, and was now with a man to whom she was not married, who was not her husband. And in the eyes of the Jews, this was grounds for death. This may have even been why she went to the well to draw the water at the unlikely time of high noon. Most women did not go to the well at noon because of the heat. Maybe she went during this time to avoid contact with these other Jewish women, or even other Samaritan women, who would have wanted nothing to do with her because of her failures and the sins in her life. Can you imagine then, her surprise when she arrived at the well to find our Lord sitting there, a Jewish man, and alone at that? And even much more to her surprise, he spoke to her. And not only spoke to her, but he spoke to her of spiritual matters. Jewish men during this time simply did not strike up conversations alone with women at that time and place. And consuming food and drink, even a drink of water, even accepting a drink of water from a Samaritan, was even further from the question in the eyes of the Jews. This simply was not done. And the conversation between our Lord and this Samaritan woman that we just heard is the longest recorded conversation between our Lord and anyone throughout the four Gospels. So this was a long conversation in the most socially unacceptable situation of that time and place. And our Lord did not beat around the bush with her. He spoke to her straightforwardly and did not shy away from the uncomfortable truths of this woman's sins, her failures, that probably hit at the very heart of her. But instead of shutting down and running away, shutting down the conversation and running away in fear over these things, here again, as we spoke about 2 weeks ago, she had courage. She was bold. And she stayed there, the Samaritan woman, and listened to what Christ had to say to her in spite of these painful truths. And she ran to tell everyone in her village about her meeting the Messiah. And as a result, as we heard, many of the people in the village came to believe and our Lord because of her. In the tradition of the church, this Samaritan woman is known as Saint Fontanie, which means the enlightened one. Through this lengthy conversation with our Savior, Saint Fontanie was able to work through her past failings and her sinfulness and become a sharer of the gospel of Jesus Christ to her Samaritan friends and neighbors, who were probably used to viewing her as anything else and anything more than in spiritual terms. Again, this took tremendous, tremendous courage. And through the healing of her failures upon encountering our Lord, she was able to take hold of such courage and not only tell her Samaritan village about Christ, but was also able many, many, many years later to stand firm in her faith at the persecution of the pagan Roman Emperor Nero, at which time it is recorded she said to Nero, when she was standing before him, "O most impious of the blind, you profligate and stupid man, do you think me so deluded that I would consent to renounce my Lord Jesus Christ and instead offer sacrifice to idols as blind as you?" Through the grace and mercy and forgiveness of our Lord, Saint Fontanie was set free from her failures in this life, and she was renewed in the life of Christ. More often than not, people, especially in our culture today, define themselves by their failings. They define themselves by their sins. They define themselves by their weaknesses. More often than not, people flee from shame from uncomfortable truths, whether they are encountered in their own thoughts or whether they are encountered in the thoughts of others. And as we here today, dearly beloved, we too are not immune from this. It is often too and so easy for us to accept some unrealistic cultural standard for what is called the good life, right? Sometimes our thoughts tempt us into thinking things such as, "Wouldn't it be nice to have a lot of money so that I can live a certain way? Wouldn't it be nice to have what that other person has?" Or even, "Wouldn't it be nice if my life was perfect?" Saint Fontanie's life was not perfect. And all of our saints, for that matter, their lives were not perfect. But that did not stop her, and that did not stop them from encountering our Lord in faith. And thank God, the church gives us these men, these women, and these children as models for us. In her response to her shocking encounter with our Savior, she humbly acknowledged the truth of her sinfulness. And she did not react defensively or make excuses for her past sins. She did not end the conversation with our Lord and run away in shame. Instead, she was open to the healing of her soul, to the possibility of a new and restored life through the mercy of our Lord. We cannot, my dear friends, be our own Savior. We cannot conquer death on our own, and we certainly cannot heal our own souls. And if we think we can, then we are doing nothing but fooling ourselves by swelling ourselves up with foolish pride that keeps us bound to death and to the terror of realizing how weak we are before the challenges we encounter in our own minds and in relation to one another. Our failures and our weaknesses are not good in and of themselves, For we are called to overcome these things. But when we use these to help us open our eyes to the truth of who we are, of where we stand before God, then we put these things to good use. Like St. Fotini, if we will not make excuses for them or try to defend them, but use them as ways to humble ourselves, then we will put ourselves again in the place of St. Fotini. Like her, we must refuse to become paralyzed by our failures. Refuse to become paralyzed by our guilt, our sins, and open our hearts to the healing that can only come from the great physician. Only then we take our attention off of whether or not we measure up to some self-imposed standard, and instead focus on receiving the mercy of our Lord Christ. No matter what we have done, no matter how distorted and corrupt any dimension of our life may be, no matter how anyone treats us or views us, Christ is able to raise us up with Him from death to life. This is not a future promise, my dear friends, but this is a present reality. He rose in glory with His wounds still visible, and no wound that we or others have inflicted puts us beyond the healing of our Lord, the forgiveness of our sins, and the glory of His resurrection, if we choose it. In this glorious season of our Lord's resurrection, dearly beloved, I pray that we all strive to become like the great martyr, Fotini, by embracing enthusiastically the new life that our Lord has brought to the world, healing us of our sins, of our failures, and of our weaknesses, if we only open our hearts to allow Him to do so. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.